We're letting the music go for about 15 minutes. We got nothing to say, pal. We got nothing going on.
Well, we're not figured.
Brandon, we're not used to actually starting on time. We're used to... Brian came in here all
605,
excited.
Yeah,
6:05, 6:07.
And then he acts like we should be grateful that we get to start on time.
Yeah.
It's like, that's when we're supposed to start.
There you go, guys. Enjoy it. Enjoy that 6 o'clock start time.
When your kid listens and then they want a reward for listening. Right? Like, yeah. I'm actually listening, Dad. Hey, happy Sunday to the frozen 10,000 lakes of Minnesota.
If somebody happened to turn on the radio by chance and flip channels and not know where they are, they're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen, and there are four of us. There's me, Steve Strusinski, Stru Man, Boomer, Mark Lukey, and our buddy behind the glass, Brandon,
That's me.
Our fourth outdoorsman.
One of the best in the biz. Oh, he's the best in the biz. He's got a face for radio.
That's right. So do the three of you. So
hey,
we got a lot to talk about.
Contrary to what I said, we do have a lot to talk about. Let's start with what happened just a couple of days ago, the Walleye Wars. Explain what happened, how it went. I thought it was pretty exciting what I saw and listened to, and tell people who didn't know or hear about the Walleye Wars what was going on.
Yeah, so Walleye Wars was a really cool adventure that it was a bragging rights contest between Devil's Lake, North Dakota, and Lake of the Woods, Minnesota, on these two premier fishing destinations, which one could take home the inaugural Walleye Wars trophy. Because as you guys know, producer Mark and Stru, we've both been to Lake of the Woods. We've all been to Devil's Lake.
Yep.
Devil's Lake a lot more, obviously, as a big partner of our show. But they both battle for kind of bragging rights, because when people are making that decision for the one trip they typically are going to do ice fishing, if they're going to go with the guys or they're going to go with the girls or the family, the conversation always takes place typically that, hey, should we go to Lake of the Woods? Should we go to Devil's Lake? So Tanner Cherney, our fifth outdoorsman, had an idea that he learned from a conference when the Minnesota Wild were playing the Jets. They kind of had this little contest that whichever team won, they got to take over the other person's social media page for just a little bit. So that idea put some gas on the fire, and it turned into Walleye Wars, where on Thursday of last week, or January 3rd, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Facebook Live, for the world to see, it was straight ice fishing between Joe Henry and his team up at Lake of the Woods and Tanner and his team in Devil's Lake, and I was blessed to be part of the Devil's Lake
team.
Now,
you're talking about, this is two different states. We got North Dakota, we have Minnesota.
Yep.
We're talking about for the world to see. How do you know how many people saw this
on Facebook? What was really interesting is, you know, both of the state tourism departments got involved because this was kind of like out of the box thinking.
Innovative,
right?
Pal. Really,
and,
really cool.
You know, there was a lot of news publications and media channels picking this up. And about 2 weeks before it started, or a week before it started, Tanner said, hey, the USA Today just wrote about this. Hey, the Washington Times.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Hey
today, the St. Paul Pioneer Press talked about it.
St. Paul Pioneer Press. The estimated reach of Walleye Wars already is 10 to 15 million people.
That's a lot.
10 to 15 million people. Because, you know, there was newspapers in Texas and news channels in Texas talking about this because it was pretty cool. I mean, Mark, I mean, you even took this idea a little further and said, hey, we could do like a bracket like the NCAA 64. I mean, it was a lot of fun. So we got up early that morning. I was a part of the Devil's Lake team, obviously, with being a part of Devil's Lake for the last 10 years, Blue 42 helping with their marketing. You know, we filmed everything up on Devils. There was about 2 feet of snow. So Kyle from Woodland gave us a Polaris Ranger, which was heated with, you know, the tracks on the bottom.
Do it.
That's for me.
That was awesome. So
don't spill your cocktail, Mark.
It was kind
of Power Sports.
Yeah. It was kind of funny though, as you guys know, and I kind of get in a zone sometimes, and Tanner gets in a zone when we're ready to go. We get about our first, half a mile underneath our belt when we're going to our first spot we're going to fish for walleyes in the morning.
Yeah.
And Josh, you guys have met Josh, our photographer at Blue 42.
Yep.
He looks at me and he goes, I forgot the power pack. So we had to whip around, right? Everyone's in a mess. We go back. We get the power pack. We get the Jason Mitchell thermal pop-up. That's up and ready to go. We drill some holes with the K-drill, get everything staked in. And then the contest kicks off live at 9. What was interesting for us is Devil's Lake during the open water season, you can catch walleyes during the whole day. You guys have experienced that. But the walleye bite is primarily its best right away in the morning from like 7 to 8. and from 4 to 5. So we were kind of fishing outside of that now, hot
based
bite
on,
window.
Based on that last sentence, Devil's Lake, normally the walleye bite is better like from 7 o'clock to maybe 8:30 or something like that. And four. My guess is that sounds like an excuse, Boomer.
No, because I'm going to get into that. So, you know, Lake of the Woods, they end up catching around 70 fish. That was including saugers and walleyes and a couple eel pout that snuck in there and perch. Our total was about 30 if you had included
good.
The last half hour.
That's
but
pretty good
that
anywhere
didn't
you go.
Count, right? So it was more like 15 for the contest. But Tanner and I and the group were really looking for an average size fish of 15 to 18 inches minimum so we could show some pretty nice fish on camera. We didn't go to some of the quantity spots where you can pick up some smaller fish. That's just what we did. And then we took a snow bear during the middle of the day with Zippy from Perch Patrol, which snow bears, you guys did that before. That's
so
that, that's
awesome.
Like riding
a cocktail, Mark.
It's so awesome, right? And yeah, Tanner caught one of those infamous Devil's Lake jumbo perch on camera. I mean, it was awesome. My claim to fame for it was during the 11:30 segment. So we went live in Devil's Lake on the half hour, on every half hour.
Right.
And
that.
Then
yep.
Lake of the Woods went on every hour. I whiffed on one on camera.
Oh, did you?
But I got my revenge, guys. I dropped that blade spoon back down there, the Radling blade spoon from Mitchell. And I did get a nice walleye on camera, about a 16 and a half inch or 17.
Fun.
So that was kind of nice. You know, it was fun to joke around. We got a lot of engagement, a lot of people. We'd ask questions. We'd give away prizes. The dean of the college,
I saw that.
He came out and delivered pizzas.
What's that, NDSU?
Lake State Region College,
okay.
I think is what it's called.
Yep.
And he came out, and what was cool is I was talking to him as he was on his way out, and he's quite a nice fisherman, too. He was talking about with the college. It's during the waterfall season, there's always a bunch of boats in the college parking lot, right, with their decoys
boats.
And their duck
yeah.
boats. And then during the ice fishing season, the trucks usually have, you know, a flip over like a clam in the back ready to go ice fishing. It was an amazing experience. You know, we stopped at 4. Tanner and Joe went live on speakerphone, congratulated each other, and we cleaned a few walleyes after that, but It was exhausting by the time we were done, but it's probably one of the coolest groundbreaking fishing events I've ever participated in, and biggest reach.
Was anybody from the public out there watching you guys and stopping in? Was anyone driving on the lake? What was going on like that?
You know, people could drive around the lake. There were people around us. I think they could kind of figure out what was going on as, you know, we were drilling holes constantly. There was quite a few media covering different things. I remember we stayed at the Sleep Inn. You guys know there, Rick and the crew.
Yep.
And I'm having breakfast that morning. I don't know what time it is. It's about 5 a.m. when I'm having breakfast before we go meet Tanner for that first day of Walleye Wars. It was only one day, so for the day. And there it is on the news. They're showing the pictures of us. They're like, Walleye Wars kicks off. So, you know, it was really exciting to be a part of that. Got to connect with some of the folks from North Dakota Tourism. They were in the Snow Bear. They came out there to see it. Hard to believe that, you know, it grabbed the interest of 10 to 15 million people. And it's definitely going to happen again. You know, there's some folks that asked me, you know, what would you do a little different, Boomer? We're going to talk about what that might look like. I'd like to see us have that first hour of the Devil's Lake bite in there. I think that would balance out and showcase that lake because that last half hour we caught 9 walleyes.
You know what? Joe Henry mentioned that to me as well.
Did he?
Yeah, we talked a little bit today and he mentioned the same thing. Both these fisheries are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And anyone could be a great fishery in one day and not a great fishery the next.
Yep.
Timing's everything. You just don't know it. But I believe, if I recall, there was something about the conversation that maybe Devil's Lake does have an earlier bite.
Yeah, we have an earlier bite. Now, during the open water season, for everyone tuning into the 4 Outdoors in Mount Bob Country right now, we're talking about Walleye Wars, which reached 10 to 15 million people. I was a participant there from the 4 Outdoorsmen in Blue 42. Yes, and then, you know, I had some folks ask if there was a way that we could split the screen on the Facebook. Ooh. So you could see both the live feeds. Maybe we'd have to figure out how the audio would alter between the two, or if you could pick and click it, you know, like Black Mirror or whatnot, which, you know, ending you want. But I think we're going to try to do something like that. Because of the success of the reach of the program and the visibility that it gave both to Lake of the Woods and to Devil's Lake, this is going to happen again. I know Tanner live on camera. He's very competitive in nature like we are. And he's like, Joe, let's do something in the open water too. So, you know, that by all means could happen. It'll be really interesting as this plays out because I've never seen anything like this. I know in the professional bass fishing world, you know, you have Bassmaster Live, MLF probably is going to have a live, FLW Live, where it's all these tournament anglers. But I've never seen it where two tourism departments, mm-hmm. right, that all these people go to fish for walleyes, actually said, all right, let's just go live for 8 hours-ish and battle it out.
I've got an idea. I think it's a wonderful idea. Could the open water take place as early as 2019? I bet it could.
You know what?
Or do we take some time and try to reevaluate how to make this better?
I hope it happens. I think one of the reasons it was so successful and so many people tuned in to watch it, Mark and Strew, was the fact that it wasn't really edited at all, right? It was raw, and we were learning as we were going. And I think people appreciated that. I mean, even how we tallied things, we tallied it by putting on a big whiteboard, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't a fancy graphic pop-up on the TV screen that you were watching it from. I think it just had real authenticity to it, and that was the whole idea. So I'm hoping we do one in the open water season. You know, Joe runs a real world-class operation up there at Lake of the Woods. They did a great job with the recap call. Tanner and Susie and that whole crew in Devil's Lake and Mike from ND Tourism and Katsy and Alicia, they did a wonderful job as well. It was very blessed to be a part of that. And if you did not watch any of the Walleye War segments, you can go to the Devil's Lake Facebook page or you can go to the Lake of the Woods Facebook page to see their respected live feeds. Man, tune in there. There's some laughs because there's hook sets being missed. There's tackle we're trying to find. I mean, it's like we're all out in the ice house. I'm really excited, though, Strew, is we're going to be headed back up there, I know, as the Four Outdoorsmen. I think it's on January 28th. We're going to bring some heavy hitters. I know Eric, your buddy,
Eric.
He's a great fisherman, and he's never fished Devil's Lake. It'll be mm-hmm. great to have Eric join the group. I know you're working on Mike. I fished Devil's Lake with Mike as well. Yeah. So it's going to be exciting, this trip that we're going to be doing to Devil's Lake. So we can all get back up there together and tell some more stories.
Yeah, I'll tell you what,
the
media coverage of the Walleye Wars is phenomenal for everybody involved. Everyone who loves the outdoors, especially Devil's Lake Tourism and Lake of the Woods Tourism. So keep it up. We'll keep on working out. I've got one idea, then we're going to go to the shout-outs. I think we should have the Four Outdoorsmen against MPR, huh? Let's have a fishing tournament. Let's kick some ass.
You know what? We could do a Four Outdoors.
Let's kick some ass.
We could do a fish off with another competing radio show.
MPR,
Mark,
let's give ourselves a shot. Hey, Mark, got any shout-outs, buddy?
Yeah, I got some shout-outs, a bunch of them. If you go to the Four Outdoorsmen Facebook page and comment in the shout-out section, we'll try to read it on air. We got quite a few coming in here. Chris Davis says, listening in with my baby daughter. Thanks for listening, Chris. Our friend John Marshall said, Ken and Caden with some Mille Lacs walleye. Some great picks there.
Way to go, John!
My friend Tony Haberly says, the chain panned out nicely this afternoon. Also was able to mentor two young ice anglers that have never ice fished before.
Nice job, Tony.
That's what it's all about, buddy. And you guys got to check it out. Adam Dankers posted a board. He's coming back from Lake of the Woods. And he has one of the coolest fish tally boards I think I've ever seen. So check that out. Looks like they slaughtered him. And he's taking a shot at Boomer. Here he says, practice my Boomer hold on Lake of the Woods yesterday.
Did you, Dankers?
He's holding the walleye about an inch from the camera.
Okay, so here's what you got to do, Adam, if you're tuning in tonight. What you got to do
is
you
got to
take those fingers and you got to put it underneath the belly. Because when people see your fingers, then they can size up the fish. So you almost have the Boomer hold. Mm-hmm. But if you just hide those two fingers underneath the gut of that walleye, it'll look like a 30-incher.
Boy,
you,
we learn a lot on this show, don't we? All about fishing.
Well, I tell you.
That's a cool tip.
Yeah, that was a cool tip. So it was fun. You know, it's cold again, obviously, and then it warmed up, and then it's cold again. So I just want to stress to people, be careful on the ice still. I mean, it's been back and forth. We have snow. Snow acts as a, you know, insulated barrier, so that cannot be good for making ice. I think we have some pretty safe ice out there, but just be smart. Call people that have been to that lake before. Call the resorts. Call the guides. They know what's going on, and enjoy this 2018-2019 ice fishing season.
I was just going to ask maybe what some of the challenges were, being the first time. At first, Strew and I were thinking, what the heck are they going to talk to about for a half hour at a time? But it seemed like it was going pretty well, and it was, you know, there wasn't like dead periods where it was kind of boring to watch. You know, yeah. There's always something going on. Also, phones. Did you record it all on a phone?
Yes.
So were you worried about reception at all? There were some, more in Lake of the Woods than you guys, but there were some spots where
We tested before. We got okay. up there the day before and tested cell phone reception for wherever we were going to be for the live feeds. We also brought, Blue 42 brought kind of its own Wi-Fi remote mm-hmm. that we could come off of, so it had a little stronger signal than just the phone's cellular service. So that worked to our favor. As far as speaking points, you know me, I never have a lack of something to say, especially in
really?
Fishing and the hunting world, right, Stru?
Yeah, really?
But we scripted some things out before. I mean, before every segment, we knew what we wanted to talk about before. We kind of went through a list of questions. The only time I think it would be like dead air and it wasn't really dead, if you guys watched it, there would be times where walleyes would show up on our Vexlars and Tanner and I would just zoom yeah. to focus in, you know, like, come on, baby, come on, and bite and bite. I will say it wasn't nerve-wracking on trying to get that walleye to hit because you're on a live feed and, you know, there's thousands of people watching you and commenting, come on, Boomer, don't miss it. What are you using, Tanner? What are you using? I'll be honest, when I did whiff on that one, when I set the hook, I was like, oh, boy. I was like, I got to redeem myself because we had like 4.5 minutes left on that live feed. So it was nice to capture that hook set. One interesting thing I had come up on me on Devil's Lake that I wasn't used to is walleyes up there, typically you'll feel the chomp. It's like a dunk, a hit, and then you set the hook, right? The first couple hits I had were like a perch hit. They just grabbed it and the rod slightly went down. So I had to get used to that bite because when I fished the day before, it was like a thump. And I think that had something to do with the vast temperature change. I mean, they were like minus 40 just a couple days ago. And then it went from minus 40 all the way up to like 35, 37 degrees out there. So if you think about that, guys, that's a 50 degree swing. That's not an excuse. That's just saying that's going to change the game when it comes to the bite of those walleyes. So really had to be a little more creative, have a little more ammunition in the tackle box, be willing to change up lures a little more. I did use a combination of, you know, minnow heads and Mackie plastics. Both of them seemed to trigger the bite. But there was no period up there during that day where the walleye just flew up and nailed it like we've experienced yeah. before. It was a little more of a negative bite where we really had to work that walleye to get it off the bottom. And literally it would come up and down the Vexlar a couple times before it would pull
How many on. Fish do you think both of you missed because you were jacking around with all the Facebook Live stuff?
Oh, man, probably close to a dozen. You know, yeah. To be honest with you, you didn't see yeah. it, but there's so many times where one would pop up there and, like, you know, someone ask a question, well, hey, what are you using or how yeah. deep? And you'd get up and talk to them, and all of a sudden, you'd peripheral part of your eye, you'd look down, and you just see this little red mark coming up from the bottom, you know, and you're just like, oh, no.
You know, I'll tell you what, everybody who listens to this show, The Four Outdoorsmen, and thanks if you are listening, realize that Devil's Lake Tourism is our premier sponsor, have been for a number yep. of years, and thank you very much for sponsoring the Four Outdoorsmen. And Tanner has come a long, long way. I have to give him credit
yep.
because when we first met Tanner, he was like a little kid, you know, and just kind of shy and kind of withdrawn and conservative, just doing his job with Devil's Lake Tourism. But he has blossomed as far as his confidence and his entire personality, being able to be on air and all that.
He does a great
job.
The
promo shots he did for Walleye Wars was wonderful. So kudos to you. That's a shout-out to our buddy Tanner Tierney, Devil's Lake Tourism.
Yeah, and still follow along. I tell you to go to the Devil's Lake Facebook page because there are some really cool photos of behind-the-scenes or walleyes being caught that Josh was able to get pictures of from Blue 42 agency. So make sure you check that out because it's going to be interesting. But hey, if you're just tuning in to Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country, you got to make sure you check out and podcast us. It will come out on Tuesday. We yep. just wrapped up Walleye Wars. And we got a couple other guests on tonight, don't we?
We do. The first one we're going to have in about 5 minutes here is Ted Takasaki. And Ted is the Hall of Fame guy, the fishing guru from since 1991.
You've seen him at every sports
yeah,
show.
Yeah, he's been around a long time. We're going to talk about the sports show coming up at River Center as well. He'll be on first. And then we've got Garrett Steele, country singer, as well as a professional fisherman. He's going to be on the second half.
That's going to be fun.
On the Four Outdoorsmen.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the Four Outdoorsmen anytime.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Rooster! Yep, hunting season is here, and it's time to make a trip to Sandpine Pheasants Family Recreation in Avon, Minnesota. Sandpine Pheasants is located just an hour from the Twin Cities and is open to the public with no membership fees. Enjoy hunting one of their 9 fields, try a European hunt, or book a guided hunt. Sandpine Pheasants is open 7 days a week and also the largest central Minnesota dealer of the Action Track Chair, a great tool for helping the disabled hunt. Learn more at sandpinepheasants.com.
Boomer here, and I'm here to talk about Vexilar, the world's leader in ice fishing marine electronics. I just wrapped up Walleye Wars up on Devil's Lake, and I ran my Vexilar for 2 straight days without charging it. And boy, does that bottom 6 feet zoom really help get those pesky walleyes to bite, because you can really zoom in on them, especially when those gravel lizards are hanging tight. Vexilar also came out with the K-Drill this last year, which weighs less than 10 pounds, and you get about 400 inches of ice on every battery. To learn more about Vexilar, go to Vexilar.com.
Stop by Lowe's for help refreshing your bathroom this new year. Take 20% off mosaic wall tiles and really spice up the look of your bath. Or make a small change and notice a big difference with up to 35% off select bath faucets. No matter what you choose, you'll be ready to enjoy the new year in style. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through January 9th. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
All right, Peloton, keep it going. Thanks for riding with me today. You're halfway through this 30-minute hip-hop ride.
Double your money and make a stack.
For all my first-time Peloton riders, how far will you go this year? Remember, your finish line is just the beginning. Get after it.
Learn more about the Peloton bike at onepeloton.com or try it at Mall of America or Galleria Edina.
Back in the four outdoorsmen, you guys, I'll tell you what, the first half, well, it's not the first half yet, but it kind of flew by talking about the walleye wars between Devil's Lake Tourism and Lake of the Woods Tourism. That must have been a hell of a trip. That would have been a lot of fun. Hope they continue that deal, don't you think so?
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. It got me excited for our trip coming up here to Devil's Lake, and I love Lake of the Woods, too, so it was a great thing, and just well done by everyone.
Got an idea. Why don't we quit our jobs, sell our families, and just keep fishing? Go all over the place with Red Lake, Lake of the Woods.
Sell our families?
Oh, hell yeah. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. Cost too much money. Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm guessing we have our newest guest on the air. We do not? Ted Takasaki's there. Ted, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, it's great to be on. Appreciate it.
Well, I tell you what. No, it's great to have you on. Well, we've been doing this for 5 years, the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Total Country, and your name comes up all the time. I read a lot of your stuff. I've watch your stuff on YouTube and your seminars, all the things you do, and I've never spoken with you, and I even have articles in my bag right now next to me that you have written that I got to get this guy in the air. So thanks for taking the time. What's new with Ted Takasaki?
Well, just having a great time, you know, doing what I love to do, living the dream every day, and getting to get out and do some fishing whenever I can, and have fun at these sports shows. I love these sports shows. You know, I think this is probably my 30th year of going to sports shows, and even when I was just getting out of college, I'd love to just go to these sports shows because they're so much fun, and everything you can learn and everything you can see, and really try to plan a trip. It's just amazing.
I'll tell you what, Ted was born in a small town called Chatsworth, Illinois, with only about 600 people. And with the name Takasaki, I'm Polish, Ted, okay? So forgive me if I make a mistake here. Takasaki is Japanese, correct?
That is correct.
Well, how many Japanese fishermen were there in 1991 in Chatsworth, Illinois? None, except you, right?
There were none, yeah. In fact, I was the only one in Chatsworth, period.
So when you got
fisherman
on the,
or not.
When you got in the FLW, you were the number one Japanese fisherman in the country.
That's right.
Tell us, we talked about Chatsworth, where you were born and raised. Tell us what happened when you went from Chatsworth to high school to college. How did you become a professional fisherman?
You know, it's an interesting story. I mean, I graduated from the University of Illinois with an engineering degree. I worked at Hewlett-Packard for about 18 years. And while I was at Hewlett-Packard, I met a good friend of mine, John Campbell. We started fishing some of the tournaments together. We did well. You know, and then we had the Masters Walleye Circuit Team of the Year in 89. And from there, you know, sponsors came along and just kept on building building the tournament resume. And then I got a big break in 1999 when I became the president of Lindy Fishing Tackle. I ran that company for 10 years. We doubled revenue, quadrupled profit, and sold the company in 2008 before the crash. And now I just fish full time.
Are you still a friend, good friends with John Campbell?
Oh, yes, you bet. John, in fact, just he just got inducted. Well, he's getting inducted into the International Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame this year, this coming year. So, yeah, I'm very proud of him. Without him, I wouldn't be fishing, to tell you the truth. He was in my fraternity at the University of Illinois. He taught me how to tie my first knot. And, you know, I went fishing with my dad, but he never really showed me how to do any of those kind of things. And Johnny and I, we learned to fish these tournaments from our bootstraps and learn everything from the ground up. And I owe a lot to him.
You know, I'll tell you what, my old man fished a lot as well, and I didn't learn a lot of fishing from him, but, boy, I can make myself a dry brandy Manhattan, I'll tell you that. Hey, Boomer's got something to say.
Hey, Ted, sorry I came in late. I was out in a conversation with our next guest, but Boomer here, thanks for joining us on the Four Outdoorsmen. I used to hit the sports show circuit pretty regularly, and I've seen a couple of your seminars, so I really appreciate you coming on tonight.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, like I was telling you guys, I love going to these sports shows. There's so much to do, so much to see, so many people to talk to, and all underneath one roof. You know, I mean, you can, it's a boat show. You can see all the boats that you want to see. There's RVs and campers. There's outdoor equipment like fishing tackle and electronics. If you want to book a vacation, it's a great place to see all the vacation places all under one roof, compare prices, compare what you might get, what you might not get. And then, plus, it's fun for the family because you have the Great Lakes Timber Show. You've got live, humongous monster deer, 30-point buck, live animal displays, and even fishing in the trout pond. So there's just so much to do at these sports shows.
Well, Ted, one question I have to ask you, because every time we have a guest like yourself that makes a living in the outdoors, producer Mark to my left here, he's one of the big sales guys. Execs at Ron Share Productions, myself and Stru with the radio show, and then myself with Blue 42, the outdoor marketing group. You know, we kind of live and breathe this and do this full time, and it's not easy. It's a lot of hours, it's a lot of weekends. And Ted, someone like yourself that's in the Hall of Fame and has made so many accomplishments in the outdoors, do you have any advice for folks that are tuning into the Four Outdoorsmen tonight on Bob Country? Some general tips for men or women that are wanting to make a living into the outdoor industry.
Boy, yeah. You know, I mean, to tell you the truth, you have to have a passion for it. You know, I mean, it is, I'll tell you everybody, it is not easy. It's not an easy road. Sponsors are hard to get. You got to put a lot of hours. You got to be willing. I mean, in the early days, I travel 8 hours one way just to do a photo shoot. To get a cover on a magazine.
Oh, wow.
There was one time I was fishing a tournament on Put-in Bay, South Bass Island on Lake Erie, and I had to get to a seminar in Detroit. And the ferries stopped running. I had to have somebody take me from South Bass Island to the mainland, and then I had to get a taxi all the way out to Detroit. I barely made it to the seminar. I mean, it was like a planes, trains, and automobile kind of deal. And
great movie.
You know,
way.
I mean, you know, well, you know, when you have 50, 100, 200 people waiting to hear a seminar, I mean, you can't not show up. So I did everything I possibly could to get there, and I just barely made it. So those are the kind of things that are difficult, but you just got to keep on pushing. and working hard and preparing yourself for that, maybe that one big break that you might get, and then you can really go after it.
So, Ted, I know I see a lot of your pictures with your big walleyes during the open water season. I just got back myself from filming in Devil's Lake where we did this walleye wars, where it was Devil's Lake versus Lake of the Woods on live Facebook for 9 hours, and it was quite a fun adventure, but I'm still battling a cold and still trying to get some sleep from it. But do you like to ice fish, Ted?
Oh, of course. It's you know, for me, ice fishing is really more pleasure fishing rather than open water fishing in the tournaments is more my business, you know. So, you know, when fishing is your business, you have to take it seriously, and you got to look at it as a job, really. And ice fishing, though, is, you know, I'm not as well known, or I don't have to promote ice fishing as hard as I do the open water fishing, and I don't fish ice fishing tournaments. So I love just getting out and having fun and catching some fish. That's what's great about it. And then I just picked up this brand new machine called the Snow Bear. Now that is one awesome machine. I'm telling you what.
It's yours? You get to use it?
Oh yeah, yeah, you bet. It's an incredible machine. I mean, you lift up the tracks. I mean, the tracks are expandable and collapsible. It's like taking a big snowmobile and putting a cab or a fish house on top of a snowmobile, and you can go anywhere on the ice and snow doesn't stop you. It's just and you don't have to go outside unless you want to.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of using one of those on Devil's Lake a few years ago, and I'll tell you, if I could, that would be the way I'd do all my ice fishing.
You know, Ted,
I've done all different kinds of ice fishing, from snowmobiles to quads to pickups and big shacks, and geez, you know, when it's 10 degrees or below zero, and the wind's blowing 25 mile an hour, it's just not a whole lot of fun to even get out of the truck. So,
well, Ted, you know, I was just in the Snow Bear with our buddy Zippy Doll from Perch Patrol, and maybe if I get a Snow Bear, maybe that's a way I can get your fellow Hall of Fame colleague Mark Fisher to come ice fishing with us. If I get Mark a big Snow Bear where it's nice and comfy and 70 degrees, then I'll get him to come ice fishing with us.
I'm telling you what, that's exactly what it is. It's like sitting on a beach ice fishing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Ted, if you take Mark Lukey, Boomer, and Steve Strasinski fishing in your Snow Bear one of these days, we'll put you back on the Four Outdoors and give you some free love, pal.
Hey, you got a deal. I'd love to come back on the Four Outdoors.
We're not done yet. I got to tell you something.
I've got your phone number now, so when
you're
on fish, you better come out here to South Dakota.
I'm going to bother you till you die. If you guys are just tuning into the Four Outdoorsmen of Bob Total Country, this is Ted Takasaki, Hall of Fame fisherman. And I tell you, this is fun. If you don't think you have what it takes to become a professional fisherman, and you're 25, 30 years old and you're just starting this game, don't worry about it, because here's Ted's background. You'll get a kick out of this. And the first tournament he was in was the Mud Bowl in 1991. He was MWC Team of the Year, him and John Campbell. 1998, number one walleye guy in the country. 1999, he got to be with Lindy. But listen to this. When he got out of college, he's 23 years old now, and he goes with John Campbell's family to fish in Iowa. And you guys caught a fish. Do you remember what you said to each other?
Is that a walleye?
That's what they said, yeah. 23 years old. This guy is one of the best fishermen in the world. And they catch a fish and goes, is that a walleye?
Never caught a walleye until I graduated from college. So
I'll tell you what. And also, you ended up in, I think, in South Dakota. This is something I find interesting as well. He ended up in South Dakota in 1999. And he loves fishing. This is his life, his dream, his job, his business. And most people go fishing because they love the atmosphere, they love the country, the territory, the environment, the people, the fishing, the lakes. Not him. Why did you choose South Dakota? Fewer taxes.
That's a smart businessman.
Right. Yeah. Ted, what?
I like all aspects of the fishing business, and that's the thing. I mean, I love to fish, obviously. But I do love the fishing business itself. It's a great business. Everybody knows each other. It's a lot smaller than what people think. And, you know, I like just the numbers and the business itself and promoting and the marketing of the whole and everything about it. So that's what makes it fun. And, you know, I've always said if you love what you do for a living, you never work a day in your life. And that's pretty much the way it's been the last 20 years.
Well, I tell you what, Ted, we've got about 6 minutes left with you, so we want to do a couple things. We want to get some more insight from you because we know, you know, Barry and the crew at Sinanco Productions do a nice job. Get a little more info on the Sportsman Show. And then before you go, we want to get some fishing tips from you for early spring coming up here.
You betcha. I'd love to do that.
So go ahead. Tell us what's going on at the Sportsman Show, buddy.
Well, the Sportsman Show starts on January 10th and goes to the 13th on Thursday. It's from 2 o'clock to 9, Friday the 11th, noon to 9, Saturday 10 to 8 p.m., and then Sunday 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So it's Thursday through Sunday at the St. Paul River Center in St. Paul. Adults are $12. Kids 6 to 12 is $250. Children 5 and under are free. So just come on out. All these boats and campers, RVs, a lot of fun things to do are all there. Plus, I'll be giving seminars Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you get to hear about the three mistakes that walleye anglers often make when they go out fishing. And then I'll also talk about the number one walleye technique to catch fish anywhere in the country. So come on out. Listen to come out to the seminars and learn something and have some fun at the sports show.
Well, Ted, producer Mark here, we make a lot of mistakes here on the Four Outdoorsmen Fishing. Can you give us a little teaser about maybe how to avoid the top three mistakes, or maybe give us the fourth one you can't talk about?
All right. Well, let's see. Probably the best advice I can get everybody is that fishing for walleyes is just like real estate. Location, location, location. You can't catch fish that aren't there, so it's important to find them. And I'll talk extensively about that, and then I'll talk about a few other things that I think people often overlook when they're out on the water. So that's my goal this weekend, is to educate as many folks as I possibly can so that they can be more successful out on the water.
Well, you know, Ted, I've had some really good mentors in my day to help me in the fishing world. And one that always sticks in my head is, Boomer, don't fish memories.
You bet. You know, that is absolutely correct. But, you know, I mean, past experience often helps you figure out what the fish are doing today.
Correct.
And often what I think about, number one thing there is it would be water temperature and time of the year. And then at that point, what you want to do is wind direction is very important when it comes to walleyes. And then, you know, the location and the type of water that you're fishing. Those are all the three, four or five elements that I always consider whenever I go to a brand new body of water and try to catch fish at it. You know, when I'm pre-fishing for a tournament, you know, those are all things that I take into consideration.
Hey, Ted, Strewman here again. You know, when you graduated from the University of Illinois Champaign with an engineering degree, and you told your mom and dad that you're going to become a professional fisherman, how did that go over?
Hey, nobody would have believed me at that point, you know. So I guess I had to prove them all wrong. And I guess, you know, I've been full-time fishing now for about 20 years. So I've been fishing tournaments for almost 30, but full-time making a living from it, it's been about 20.
Good for you.
Ted, home for you, Boomer, here is in South Dakota, right? No?
Say that?
Yeah. Where home for you right now is in South Dakota?
That is correct. I live in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I've been here for about 10 years. I was up in Brainerd, Minnesota when I was the president of Lindy Fishing Tackle. And, I mean, I love the Brainerd area. It's a wonderful area, great people, lots of fishing opportunities. But it is just a little bit cold. So, you know, I moved there directly from Chicago area. And when I got up there, you know, there was one winter where it didn't get above zero degrees for 30 days in a row. And one day I woke up and it was 25 below zero. I went into the office and I said, how do you guys deal with this minus 25? They said, well, that's not really cold. We don't really think or worry about it until it gets to about 50 degrees below zero. So I almost fell over, but yeah. I love Brainerd and I love Minnesota. It's just that the weather can be pretty harsh sometimes.
Well, I ask you that question, Ted, because where I really learned to cut my teeth walleye fishing was Lake Traverse. So I'm sure you're probably hit that lake a couple times.
You betcha. Big Stone Lake is right next to Traverse.
And, oh, yeah. I've Mallards Point,
Big
right,
Stone
buddy?
Lake quite a bit. It's a great lake.
Yeah, yeah. We love visiting a friend up there, Todd, at Wing and Fin Resort. Well, Ted, we've got about 1 minute. Can you share a little information on where folks can learn more about the Sportsman Show and then how they can contact you if they're interested in using your services for promotion and all that good stuff?
You bet. To get more information, just check it out at stpaulsportsshow.com. And, you know, just come out there. I'll be out there every single day, you know, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, January 10th through the 13th. And when you're up there on Traverse this spring, make sure you fish shallow because Traverse and Big Stone are shallow water lakes in the early part of the walleye, you know, when walleye opener is, so stay shallow.
All right, sounds good. Well, hey, Ted, sounds like a plan. If I don't see you at the St. Paul Sports Show, I'll definitely see you at the Northwest Sports Show. I'll be over in the Alumacraft booth. I'm guessing you'll be in the Lund booth, and maybe we get to meet in person. Yep. So that'd be awesome.
Hey, that would be wonderful. We'll be looking at each other across the aisle.
All right. I love it. Well, Ted Takasaki, Hall of Famer, great guest, talked about the St. Paul Sportsman Show, some fishing tips on how to catch walleyes. Strewman, who's coming up next?
Well, I got to say something first. One more thing to Ted. I'll be thinking about you in a couple of days, Ted. I'll be in Arizona golfing Scottsdale Monday through Thursday. Talk to you soon, my friend. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsman. Garrett Steele is next on
and
the Four Outdoorsman.
Garrett Steele?
He's a superstar country singer and a fisherman, a pro fisherman as well.
All right.
Just enjoying Bob Outdoors with the Four Outdoorsmen on a Sunday evening. It's a good thing.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Rooster! Yep, hunting season is here, and it's time to make a trip to Sandpine Pheasants Family Recreation in Avon, Minnesota. Sandpine Pheasants is located just an hour from the Twin Cities and is open to the public with no membership fees. Enjoy hunting one of their 9 fields, try a European hunt, or book a guided hunt. Sandpine Pheasants is open 7 days a week and also the largest central Minnesota dealer of the Action Track Chair, a great tool for helping the disabled hunt. Learn more at sandpinepheasants.com.
Crystal Welding is ready for winter. Are you? Bring your fish house to Crystal Welding for bent axle repair, frozen pivots, bearing service, broken springs, or any welding repair needs on your fish house. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your one-stop shop for all of your welding needs. Stop in to schedule or go to crystalwelding.com for more information. That's crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No jobs are small because we do it all.
Hi, this is Tom Goodrich with Fishing for Life, and our upcoming event is called Holes for Heroes, February 2nd from 1 to 4, free to all veterans and open to the general public. And we are looking for military families to participate in our Hole of Honor video chat. That's right, if you have a family member serving overseas, we'll put them on the screen and you get to fish in our warm, heated tent with a fishing guide and visit for 20 minutes with that loved one. For more information, you can go to fishingforlife.org or to register, go to fishingforlife.org.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you could start saving money. Call 800-749-2984. 800-749-2984. 800-749-2984.
Neil here. All right, give yourselves a hand. You made it through the holidays. Now it's time to clean up the holiday mess. And my friends at Zero Res are ready to get that done for you. Zero Res is the company you can trust to make your home smell fresh and clean. And believe me, if you have pets, yeah, then you really need some Zero Res love. Fortunately for you, right now is the best time of the year to call Zero Res because Zero Res is having a holiday hangover sale. This month, get 3 rooms Zero Res clean starting at just $119. products. And because our Zero Res carpet cleaning heroes love Bob FM listeners, you get a hallway clean for free this month only with their three-room special. Call Zero Res and get three-room Zero Resified starting at $119 and get a hallway clean for free. And also this month, get your air duct Zero Res clean starting at just $20 per vent. Call Zero Res right now at 952-ZERO-RES or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same. And don't forget to tell them Neil sent you from Bob FM.
One more time, back with the Four Outdoorsmen, Strewman Boomer, Mark Lukey, Brandon behind the glass. Mark Fisher's there looking like he's important, but we do have somebody who is important in studio with
well,
us.
Well, thank you, Strew.
Not
I
you,
really
buddy.
Appreciate
no, not you,
that,
not
buddy.
You. We got
I
a young
appreciate
man,
that lovely intro.
We got a young man named Garrett Steele, who is from Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Well, thanks for having me. You already won points by calling me a young man. I love that.
Well, yeah. Everybody here is younger. Most yeah.
people well, are Garrett, I know it was probably hard to sleep the last couple nights knowing that, you know, the temperatures here are probably 30 to 40 degrees less than Nashville, and you were coming up to be on the Four Outdoorsmen. So yeah. Thanks for making it up here and bringing a little warm weather with you, too.
You're welcome. It cracked me up. Two days ago, we had the weather on, and the lady on one of your stations was like, yeah, y'all enjoy the heat wave for the next yeah. 2 weeks.
Like, now, it was funny that Garrett and I spoke this morning, and he said, boy, it's good to come up here in the heat wave. And like 35 or 40 degrees, whatever it is in January, is unbelievable. We broke records the last 2 days, so you brought the warm weather with you, and thank you very
That's
much.
So funny.
So I tell you what, guys, it was minus 55 degrees a couple days before filming in Devil's Lake, and then it was like minus 5 here. I don't know. What was the temperature today? 40? Did it flirt with the 40s today?
Yesterday was warmer.
Yesterday was a little warmer.
Colder today.
What's the weather like in Nashville right now?
Actually, I called a couple of days ago, and it was in the 40s, low 40s there.
Yeah.
But
wow.
it's been warmer there, too. We've been in the mid-60s. Before I left, it was the mid-60s.
So go ahead.
Well, I know Garrett is going to be doing some singing for us, but I don't think I've ever been next to an angler or a fellow angler, a professional fisherman, or a country musician that has a guitar and a jersey on at the same time. So tell us about the jersey, where you fish, and all that good stuff too, Garrett.
Well, we kind of blended the music and the crappie fishing together. About this is going to be my seventh year on the pro circuits. I fished both Elite Tours, American Crappie Trail, and Crappie Masters.
Ooh.
And so it was a great marriage, you know. And music anymore, it's not just about the singing; it's about everything else and your audience and whatever else. And I've always loved to fish, you know, and been singing and fishing all my life. And I thought, what a great opportunity I had to go on the circuit. And so we kind of blended the two. And so as I travel across the circuit, I'm able to kind of get the music out there and talk fishing and anywhere from Florida and Carolina all the way over into Texas, up into Missouri, whatever. You know, those two tours don't come this far north, probably Indiana, Illinois, but I have been able to do a little crappie fishing, you know, even up into Canada. I want to get up here and do some more here.
We have a good friend of ours who's been on the show a couple of times. He's from Rogers, Minnesota, real close to us, who lives in Nashville, Nick Hoffman, who is a similar lifestyle. He's a great country singer.
Well, what's the
does
name
a lot
of Nick's
stuff.
Show?
Nick's Wild Ride.
Nick's Wild Ride, and he travels around. Yeah. He does a TV show. He does all. He combines both worlds, and it's not even going to work. You guys.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, good for you.
So I got a silly question here, Garrett. So, you know, I lived in Missouri and down in Texas for about 10 to 15 years, and got to experience a little crappie fishing down there versus crappie fishing up here, and I've been home now for about the last 10 years. You know, we get excited up north here when we get 15-inch crappies. You know, those are pretty big to us. You know,
I never got one. I never got
one. Our friend Adam Griffith just had like an 18.5-inch. When you're fishing for crappies professionally, how big do they get?
The funny thing, first of all, as I always know, you know, who I'm talking to based on how they describe the fish. I noticed that, you know, up north, everybody describes them by length. And down south, it's by weight.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing.
And that has changed within the last 20 years, because when I was a kid growing up here, it was always weight. We never measured the fish. Yeah. We weighed the fish.
It's the same with us down there, whatever. But I would say on the circuit, you've got to be pretty close to a lot of those fisheries, pretty close to a 2-pound average. You know, we bring in a 7 fish, at least 1.5 pounds, even on some of the smaller ones. But you go to some of those Mississippi lakes. We had one on the Crappie Masters Tour actually about 3 years ago. I guess it was now, 2-day tournament. And on day one, we had a husband-wife team came in with just right at 21 pounds, 7 fish. That's 7 3-pound crappie.
Wow.
I mean, it was incredible. Now, granted, that record will probably stand a while. But, they grow them big down there. I guess it's such a long growing season.
What brings Garrett Steele to the Twin Cities?
Well, I was up here for NPAA, yep. National Professional Anglers Association yep. Conference. You know, they've been over in the Dells, but they were here in Minneapolis this year, and so we were up here for that. And I know a lot of the walleye fishermen are familiar with it, of course, but they're trying to expand that into other species. And we all have fun with each other, poking fun, I guess, you know, when we go do our thing. But it's one of those opportunities we have to come together, you know, and share ideas, and because we all have the common you know, ground when it comes to protecting the fisheries and the species and being able to fish everywhere and those kind of things. So,
well, let's start about the beginning. You were born and raised in Midland, Texas, I believe. Yeah. And how do you go from being a little kid in Midland, Texas, who loved the outdoors, to become a professional singer as well as a professional fisherman? That's a hell of a story.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I always had the dream of entertaining, you know, of being a pro. I mean, or being an entertainer, a singer. It was always my dream as a kid. Playing baseball was also. I grew up, you know, watching Jimmy and Roland and Bill on TV, but never imagined that I would have the opportunity to do that professionally. And yeah. Fishing was, I mean, even though I did it all my life, I just thought, you know, you fish on the side or whatever. Don't ask me how those guys do what they do. And I guess I never would have dreamed that there would come a time where I'd be able to merge the two. But, yeah, I left West Texas and moved to Nashville. Of course, you kind of have to do that when you're chasing the country music thing. It's so I've been there. And then this opportunity came about 7 years ago and merged the two. And it's like, wow, I get to sing and fish.
That's a cool gig, Garrett. That is a cool gig. You know, when I think of professional fishing, you know, there's the tournament route and the media route. Mm-hmm. And in the tournament route, I kind of default to – You know, the bass, you know, there's a big shakeup in the bass world with Bassmaster, MLF, and FLW, but they all kind of have like their Super Bowls of fishing events.
Right.
And then the walleye circuits do the same. Do they do that same type of Super Bowl at the end of the American Crappie Trail where the top teams go and there's a big stage and a big event and all mm-hmm. that kind of fun stuff?
Yeah, both circuits do that. Some fishermen have chosen to fish one or the other. Crappie Masters has been around longer, and okay. Forgive me, I think it's to 12, 15 years, whatever it's been around now. American wow. Crappie Trail is now going to be starting their third year.
Yeah.
And they kind of took it to a new level. You go there, and it's run pretty tight, and they're really taking care of the fish. And but both trails are really good trails. Crappie Masters typically will have its class in the around September or so. What American Crappie Trail did that year one, but last year their 2018 classic will be in 2019 down at Lake Darbonne.
Yeah.
And then the 2019 has not been set yet. I'm guessing they'll hold that in 20, I think. But yes, the answer is yes, there's qualifying a certain number of points you have to have or wins or whatever that is. Each of those two tours are a little bit different than how you qualify.
Yep. Wow.
I want to talk music and all, and entertaining that way, because Boomer's is he's the real man. Mark fishes a lot. Boomer fishes a lot. I just kind of go along for the ride and have a lot of fun. So let's talk music first and let him start talking about fishing. It's Tina, right? Tina Marie is right behind you filming.
She's behind the camera.
Yeah, Tina right? Marie Holland, I think, manager. How long have you been manager of Garrett Steele?
Since
06. Since 06, a long, long time, all right? So here's something that you guys may not know. This guy who's sitting next to us is the real deal. He's a big shot. I'm serious. I read your bio and all that. The people who you have been with, who have sung with, whose bands you've been
give
in,
me some names.
And vice versa. Well, the biggest one that I can think of right now is Gentry, whatever his name is from.
Montgomery Gentry?
No.
Teddy Gentry.
Yeah, from Alabama. Yeah, but I'm telling you, if you think if anybody's been in the interest industry, he's been with them one way or another, and I'm sure Tina has been part of
it. So he can get us free tickets to any place
you want to go.
All right.
And listen now. So in 2016, Male Artist of the Year nominee, Tina, I believe, was the Manager of the Year in 2016, 2017. Song of the Year nominee in 2018. The song was Right Here, correct?
Right. Yes, 18 was Right Here, and
which is a gorgeous song.
Yeah, it was called the wedding song, you know, of the year. I was fortunate song wise to have three nominations. I guess it was 3 years in a row. The Suitcase was one, and Right Here was another one, and then Those, which is kind of for the first responders and military, it was also nominated. So three successive years in nomination at the National Universe Awards. Very honored.
We're privileged to have you here.
Well, I'm telling you what, though, Stu, I know we better get to his song here because we've got about 5 to 7 minutes, right, Brandon? So we better get to – now, Garrett Steele, he's going to sing a song for us live on the Four Outdoors and on Bob Country. This is a first for us, right?
I believe it is.
We're breaking ground here.
It could be a last, right? Yeah, I'm going to do something a little different. You know, I typically go on, of course, sing something I've recorded, one of mine, and that you can go get. But this is one I'm actually kind of considering recording. I heard a really cool rendition of it and thought, you know, I might be able to put a little country flavor to that. So I'm kind of dipping my toes in the water and thinking I may go in and cut it. But, you know, being outdoors people, we're always grateful for being able to hunt and fish here in our great country. And so we'll just kind of take a grateful, patriotic approach and do a song that we're all familiar with, maybe a little different flavor.
All right.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty, above the fruited plains, America. America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, 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 God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, crown thy good with brotherhood. From sea to shining sea. America, America, America.
That is not easy to sing.
We
that
got was... Brian from the Homegrown Show just salivating in there right now, trying to get him booked now for the Homegrown
Boy,
Show.
I tell you, that was Garrett Steele, I'll tell you.
It's the last time we start on time, huh, Brian?
Hey, Garrett, and we only have a couple of minutes here, I think. We have a couple of minutes, but 2 minutes, he said. That is beautiful, and that's an extremely
amazing,
difficult rendition to do. I'm extremely impressed.
Thanks for letting me try something.
No, I'll tell you, but thanks for doing that, because you're going to be with Bear Facts and Fishtails next for the next hour or so, talking more fishing than you are music, more than likely. Let me ask you one question, okay? You've never really had a full-time job, because you were doing this stuff since you were 14 years old. You've never worked a day in your life. And I did, now, when you were 14, you came in touch with Del Trollender. How did he change your life?
Oh, wow. I was actually 12 when I met him, and it was through baseball. He was looking for a catcher, and he picked me up as his option player, and baseball started our relationship. And I had no idea he was into music, singing and writing, and then he heard me sing, and then the relationship completely changed. And he had so much to do with my music career and prepping me to move to Nashville and learning how to record original material. You know, he wrote kind of specifically for me, and so I got a lot of experience that way before I went. And he actually, those, one of the songs that was nominated for Nashville Universe Song of the Year, he wrote, and one of them I'm going back in this spring to record some new stuff, and it'll be one of his songs. Wow. Also. So
isn't it amazing how one thing can change your life forever just by having the door open up and you took advantage of it? Go ahead.
We have 1 minute left with Mr. Garrett Steele. Garrett, can you share with us how folks can track you down on the internet, on social media, and then where you'll be playing next?
Yeah, GarrettSteele.com. Until we're going to go back in the studio and have some new stuff, and you'll be able to get on iTunes and Amazon. Right now, you can go to the website, GarrettSteele.com, click on the music tab, and it'll kind of give you instructions there. I think there's about four little snippets of tunes, but of course, we've got 10 or 11, and we can get the music to you now, even before it gets there. But we want to add some of the new music that I'm going in to record. The tour schedule is there also. The fishing season's about to kick off, and so I'll be doing the music and fishing hand in hand across the Southeast, mostly here pretty quickly into February, and it'll get crazy. Could be 240 or so days on the road, you know, usually. Wow. But so I hang my clothes in Nashville is what I tell everybody.
I tell you what, Garrett Steele, thanks a lot for being on the air and the 4-Outdoorsman. It's a thrill for us to have you there. We're going to try to follow your career as well.
Thank you.
You're a very talented man, and you're blessed at the same time.
Well, I tell you what a great show. We had Walleye Wars recap on, and then we had Ted Takasaki about the Sportsman Show, his Hall of Fame fishing career, and then we had country music rock star Garrett Steele, professional crappie fisherman, on. And we can't forget one thing.
What's that, my friend?
Get outdoors.
You got it.
Bob out.